You are Locked On Saints, your daily New Orleans Saints podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is good, Houdat Nation and Houdat family? Happy Mardi Gras and welcome to this Twitter Tuesday episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Here every single Monday through Friday, 5 days a week, covering your New Orleans Saints. On today's Fat Tuesday episode, while a lot of names tend to fly about when it comes to people talking about the New Orleans Saints and their salary cap situation as potential cap casualties, let's settle the score a little bit and talk about who the players are that may actually be subject to tough decisions ahead of free agency opening up just about a month from today. We'll talk about those players, and then we've got your questions from Twitter for our Twitter Tuesday segments to wrap up the show. I'll tell you why keeping Marshawn Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk is actually an important step to getting under the salary cap, and then we'll also talk about Taysom Hill's fumbles, outgoing free agency replacements, and positions of need. As always, I'm your host, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA on Twitter, editor over at CanalStreetChronicles.com, and your Tuesday co-host over at the National Locked On NFL Podcast. We got all that and a little bit of land yet for you on today's episode of Locked On Saints, your team every day. All right, family, welcome in. Let's get to it. Another episode, another day here at Locked On Saints, this time on a Fat Tuesday. And y'all, I know Fat Tuesday, Mardi Gras does not feel the same right now. They got the quarter closed down. Nobody can get in there, everything. So I just want to say still happy Mardi Gras to everybody. And thank you for making me a part of your day today. I was going to use some traditional New Orleans jazz music to kind of spice up the show today, but everything was copyrighted. The stuff that wasn't copyrighted sounded like crap, so I didn't want to use it. So if anybody out there has any music, by the way, that they want to hear featured here on the show, just send it my way, ross@lockedonpodcasts.com, and we'll get that, get you featured here on the show. Like I always say, the show is just as much about all of you as it is about me talking to all of you. So I wanted to start off today's show taking a look, though, at free agency a little bit more, not necessarily embarking on like our free agency Friday conversation, but instead I've seen a lot of people talk about how, oh, the Saints don't have any choice. They have to move on from Ryan Ramczyk. They have to cut Marshawn Lattimore and all these things, cap casualties. And they're just throwing out these big names because it's fun. But let's talk about who the actual potential cap casualties are for the New Orleans Saints so that you have that information should you need it for a conversation at another time, so that you can be the informed party about who the actual cap casualties are for the Saints. Now, before we get into it, I do want to shout out Adam Grigo at Ready Set Grigo on Twitter. This was actually one of his Twitter Tuesday questions, but because I already had a segment planned around it, I wanted to make sure I shouted him out, as I won't be answering the question again later on in Twitter Tuesday. But shout out to Adam for being a step ahead of the game. So let's talk about these cap casualties. So Adam had asked about Jared Cook and wanting to hear four more. I've got Jared Cook and five more. There's a total of six that I can kind of name here as being potential cap casualties. It doesn't mean that each of these guys is going to get cut. They're just options for the Saints as they look to save some money. So the first guy that we'll talk about here is actually somebody that we're going to be talking about for the second year in a row as a potential cap casualty. It didn't happen to him last year because the Saints actually restructured his contract, but they restructured it in such a way that they could save money this year. So they were looking ahead here, and that is cornerback Janoris Jenkins. Now, the Saints signed him off of waivers late in 2019 season. He was a big time upgrade for them at the CB2 position opposite Marshawn Lattimore all season. They got some great play out of depth players as well behind him. But, you know, he opened up the season with a pick six. He had a couple more interceptions throughout the season, 12 passes defended as well. But he saves $7 million against the salary if you release him. Now, he's 32 years old, but there's nobody waiting behind him to become the starter opposite Marshawn Lattimore and to step into his role. So this would mean that the Saints would have plans to sign somebody at free agency, or if they didn't sign somebody in free agency, which would be weird because, again, if the Saints create a need, free agency is where they go to solve it. But if they didn't, then you could put down just about any amount of money you wanted on them drafting a cornerback in the draft, because they certainly would if that were the case. So Janoris Jenkins at 32 years old could be a cap casualty for the Saints, saving them $7 million. Now, let's go to another one that I've seen a lot of people mention, and this one is, of course, correct. Malcolm Brown, the 27-year-old defensive tackle, had three tackles for a loss in 2020. He's somebody that's been really, really great and a really solid addition for the Saints, been a part of that rotation, and I think even a better part of the rotation and has contributed at a higher rate than maybe most people recognize because of his role and because of what he does as a zero-tech, one-tech type guy. But if the Saints decided to move on from him because there are players out there that could fill his role, it also depends on how you feel about Malcolm Roach, who's a little bit of a different type of player, but Shai Tuttle, if you felt that he's developed really well, Shai Tuttle sort of plays that zero-tech, one-tech attacking interior offensive nose, defensive nose tackle kind of player, then you would end up saving about $5 million by moving on from Malcolm Brown. So you know you got great production from him over the last couple of years. Is this something you want to get ahead of? It could be a chance to save a handful of million by moving on from Malcolm Brown. Another player that actually performed pretty well last season, that's Patrick Robinson. We mentioned good depth in the secondary. Patrick Robinson was a big part of that, but he's also 33 years old. So do you trust that to repeat in 2021? If not, you can move on from him. $3.8 million saved against the cap in 2021 if you were to do that. Also 33 years old, and Adam brought this player up, and he has been getting a lot of hate on Twitter and social media since the 2020 playoff outing, Jared Cook, tight end. He had 37 catches for 504 yards. That's kind of nice, 504, but only seven touchdowns. Let me say he did have seven touchdowns. One of the biggest problems for Jared Cook was his red zone inefficiency. Caught only about 33% of his targets in the red zone, only five catches in the red zone. Two of those did go for touchdowns in 2020, at least when targeted by Drew Brees. And that's certainly a spot to where you would usually want him to perform up. That's kind of what was a part of what he was going to be bringing to the offense, was that dynamic and that player that could be that jump ball guy in the red zone, but wasn't really that player. Of course, had the costly fumble, along with all the other things that went wrong for the Saints up against Tampa Bay in the playoffs. The Saints could move on from him. How much money it saves is a little unclear at the moment, because there is a roster bonus for him around $8.1 million or so that's scheduled to be paid out to him if he's on the roster on the second day of the league year, which would be March 18th. But it's unclear so far as to when his contract voids and how that affects the actual cap situation in terms of what's being counted against it. Two more names very quickly. Thomas Morstead is going to be one that's going to continuously pop up. $2.5 million. He mentioned over at Sports Overtime that he feels like he still has a lot to prove, and that he's going to be, you know, he should be back to form next season. If the Saints believe that, then they can keep him. If they don't believe that, they can move on from him. I would expect him to be on the roster come camp so that the Saints can at least see what they still have in Thomas Morstead before potentially moving on to the younger Blake Gillikin. And then finally, Quan Alexander. Like we mentioned, he's very unlikely to be cut before free agency because he's not going to be able to pass a physical by then, or at least it's highly unlikely that he'll be able to, but he could be cut later on, and after that could be a post-June 1 cut, for instance, and the Saints could renegotiate his contract. He's carrying about a $13.1 million cap number right now. About $2 million of that is going to end up going to him in injury guarantees if he's on the roster in April, which again, he should be. But because nothing beyond that is guaranteed or would be guaranteed, the Saints could potentially move on from him once he does pass his physical, and then even re-sign him at a lesser amount. So those are some of your cap casualties for 2021. The offseason here fully underway, as the Saints have already cleared $30 million in cap space and looking to clear more so that they can remain active in free agency, active in the draft, and therefore competitive next season on the field. So we'll continue to cover all of that as we move through our weeks here at Locked On Saints. But coming up next, we're going to jump to your Twitter Tuesday questions. What are the positions of need for the New Orleans Saints? That's where we're going to get started, but we have a lot to discuss thanks to all of you over on Twitter. So we'll get to that all here in just a moment on today's episode of Locked On Saints, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. And while the Saints are looking to decrease their ducats, we're all looking to increase ours. And there's only one place that we trust to get that done for you, and that's betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. You're a knowledgeable fan. You know what's going on. Put it to use over at betonline.ag. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and the MLB is right around the corner. And they even offer some odds as well over on award shows, TV shows, reality TV, and a whole bunch more. So go ahead and check them out. They have you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's all free to sign up at betonline.ag. Just head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up and use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. right, Huda Nation, moving right along. February is Black History Month, and the Locked On Podcast Network is honoring the challenges and successes of Black men and women in sports with a new series called Locked On Presents More Than the Game. Last week, we had a great episode with Candace Cooper of Locked On Tar Heels and Erica Ayala of Locked On Women's Basketball to discuss the opportunities and challenges that come with being Black women in sports, and there's more of these conversations on the way. Protest, activism, everything you can imagine. We'll be talking about it here throughout the month. So subscribe to Locked On Presents podcast feed wherever you get your podcasts, and especially over with the radio.com app. All right, so let's go ahead and jump into our first question here from Twitter Tuesday. And I think that we're just going to set this up with Michael de Blasio, who asked a great question to kind of set the scene for us a little bit. First, three or four positions of need. Where should the Saints go in the first round? Needed positions, and he goes on to name some, but wanted to know what I thought. So my most needed positions for the Saints right now, as of this moment, assuming that everybody that's off the roster is off the roster, that's on the roster is on the roster, of course starts at quarterback, right? That's the number one need for the Saints, the number one thing they need to address here in free agency and potentially in the draft, depending upon how free agency goes. Let's just say in the off season. Number two for me is linebacker. I think that that's a position where the Saints can continue to get younger and can continue to improve. After that, it's going to be in the secondary, whether it's safety or corner. I'll probably say safety to start because, again, I'm assuming that things are as they are right now to where you don't have Marcus Williams on the roster. So that would mean that safety becomes a pretty high one up there for me. And then just to throw in a fourth, I would probably go with offensive line. I think that the Saints don't necessarily need to find new starters at the position, but I think depth is going to be a bit of a concern for them. Not a concern, but right, something that they're going to focus on over the offseason and in potentially drafting for the future, which I think is more important as well. We know that Cameron Tom has been signed away. Nick Easton is off the roster. James Hurst, the Saints probably are going to want to re-sign. I think he's a very important one to re-sign. So maintaining that depth, but also trying to build some idea of who's going to be on that offensive line in the future. Should you lose Teron Armstead? Should you lose Ryan Ramczyk, for instance? Should you lose anybody to injury? I think you want to have those next guys up, if you will, on the roster. Let's go next to Coach Red. He's at Red Coach with two D's on Twitter. Probably going to lose Rankins and Hendrickson. Who are some of the dudes in the price range to replace them? So for Sheldon Rankins, I go to Jonathan Hankins. I'm not just doing that because they rhyme. I'm doing that because I do think that it is a potential good fit. He's going to be coming out of his two seasons with Las Vegas. He kind of dropped off a bit in Vegas, which tends to happen when you play for the Raiders on the defensive line, apparently. But when you are particularly the interior defensive line, but he had some great years in Indianapolis. I think he still has a lot left in the tank. So I definitely look at Jonathan Hankins as a good replacement. And then another guy that I'll talk about that maybe some won't really either know or won't really agree with, but that's okay, is a guy that the Saints were connected to a ton just a few draft cycles ago, and it's Derek Barnett. If Derek Barnett ends up getting released as a cap casualty by the Philadelphia Eagles, which seems likely because they're going to have to actually move on from some players in order to get under the cap because they don't restructure the way that the Saints do. They don't approach the cap the same way that the Saints do. Then I would say Derek Barnett could be a really good and potentially cheap replacement because he hasn't performed up to his draft status over the past couple of years. And the Saints maybe could be a place that takes advantage of that, that pulls, you know, a Malcolm Brown type of situation to where you have a guy that was drafted high up in the draft. Malcolm Brown was the early second rounder that maybe didn't necessarily produce to that level or to that expectation or maybe unfair expectations around him based on that, and then can end up turning him into a piece that works with the Saints defense. So those would be a couple of guys that are in the price range that I think that the Saints could potentially replace those guys with if they were to lose Hendrickson and Rankins in free agency. And of course, it also helps that they have guys in the building, like Coach Red mentioned, Davenport and Granderson, who you also hope to see continue to develop as well. We'll go to Austin now, at Austin Bunch of Numbers on Twitter. I'm not going to read off all the numbers, but we know who he is. What is an improvement you're looking for and you're looking to see from both Taysom and Winston if they get the start? So I think that for both of them, it's about the turnovers, right? There's the turnover situation. There's a turnover conversation for Winston in terms of bad decision-making, things like that. How well have the coaches done at erasing some of those issues and helping with some of those issues? For Taysom, it's the fumbles. How well have the coaches worked to, how much of the coaches worked to help him improve his ball carrying, but also for Taysom, just ability to read the field and ability to run an up-tempo offense, whether it be a two-minute drill or whether it be at the end of a game or anything like that. We weren't able to see him in the four games that he played run any type of up-tempo offense because he didn't have that part of the playbook yet. So that was a big thing that we missed seeing in the offense when he was on the field. So I think that those are kind of the things that I would really look to see improvement from. We'll talk more about turnovers and things here in just a little bit. Next, we'll go to Brian Riles at Brian Riles on Twitter, R-I-A-L-S, like dials. Can the Saints afford to extend Lattimore, Ramczyk, and Armstead this offseason? And when would they start negotiations? So they would start, should start negotiations as quickly as possible. Negotiations should be happening as far as I'm concerned. But when it comes down to all three of these guys, they are on the roster. Free agency doesn't necessarily matter in this situation because none of them are going to free agency if they don't get a contract extension done by March. So it can go into the later portion of the offseason. But the fact of the matter is that extending Marshon Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk isn't just important because of what they bring on the field. It's important because it saves you money. Extending both of those players, paying to keep them longer, means you don't have to pay them as much right now. You can save somewhere between $3 to $7 million just by extending Ryan Ramczyk. You can lock down the future at the right tackle position and probably your best player on the team, and then also save between $3 to $7 million. Same thing with Marshon Lattimore, you can lock down CB1 and you can end up saving probably around $5 or $6 million by extending him because you would end up signing them to a contract where the base salary was the league minimum, but the signing bonus that they got up front covered all the rest of the expenses. Then the signing bonus averaged out over 5 years of the deal or 4 years of the deal, things like that, and has an escalating base salary as the player moves forward throughout their contract. They did that with Demario Davis, for instance. When Demario Davis signed his 2020 extension, it dropped his 2020 base salary all the way down to $1.05 million. The Saints can do something like that as well with Marshon Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk and just make sure that the signing bonus pays them out enough that they feel like they're being compensated for their work in 2020. And then after that, the escalators take place over the next couple of seasons to make sure that it scales along with their production or doesn't. And then the Saints are able to make more decisions based on that. So that is why re-signing Marshon Lattimore and Ryan Ramczyk isn't really a question about whether or not they can afford it, because it actually saves them money to do it. So yes, they can afford it. It's just going to be about whether or not Lattimore and Ramczyk want to restructure or extend early or play one more year and then hit the open market. Meanwhile, with Teron Armstead, there are already two ghost years on the end of his deal. So you can essentially restructure slash extend him into those 2 years. So it's also perfectly doable. And then finally, before we catch our breath here for a moment, Michael Jacques McBride at Michael Bunch of Numbers on Twitter. What are the odds that Dak comes back home? Sorry to break it to you, my friend, but it's near zero, in my opinion. First of all, I think he's a Cowboy next season. But secondly, that is one of those things to where even Mickey Loomis couldn't pull it off. You're not going to be able to sign a $40 to $50 million per year, or let me say $35 to $50 million per year contract for a starting quarterback this season. It's just not in the stars for this year, but maybe in a year or two or something like that, they'll be able to maybe come out and be able to make that kind of a signing. But as of right now, there's no way they'd be able to pull that off for this season. At least, I don't think they've surprised us before, but we'll see. No surprises at all, though, that these Twitter questions are absolute fire because you always come through on Twitter Tuesday. We have the second half coming up here in just a moment. Before we get to all of that, I want to tell you about our good friends over at rockauto.com. I just recently got my airbag replaced. Rock Auto helped me do that for a little bit cheaper. I didn't have to spend as much on the part as I did over at Rock Auto. So that was really, really helpful. Able to buy the part at a fraction of the price, take that to the garage, then let them do the labor there, because that is labor I do not trust myself to do when it comes to safety stuff. But Rock Auto, definitely very, very helpful in all of that. So go and check them out, rockauto.com. You tell them your make, your model, your year, and whatever else it is that you're looking for. You're looking for an engine control module, you're looking for a fuel pump, you're looking for some kind of an assembly that you need for your engine. They have everything you could ever imagine, even tailgates, floor mats, windshield wipers. Even if you just need the little rubber parts on the windshield wiper blade, you don't actually need the windshield wiper itself. Don't worry about it. you can get it at rockauto.com. So go and check them out. Grab all the parts that you might need for your car or truck and make sure to write Locked On in the How'd You Hear About a section so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliable low prices, and all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Let's get it, Houdat Nation. We're wrapping up today's episode of Locked On Saints. Once you're done here, make sure you go and check out the Peacock and Williamson show featuring NFL analyst Brian Peacock, as well as former NFL scout Matt Williamson. They're giving you all the national perspective and insight on every game, team, and move around the NFL. So check them out. The Peacock and Williamson NFL podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so let's go ahead and wrap up our questions here. From Twitter, y'all have come with some great questions here for our Fat Twitter Tuesday, as I'm going to start calling it. Let's start off, speaking of Fat Twitter Tuesday, Houdat504 on Twitter, what food would be on a Ross Jackson Saints tailgate menu? I'm very, very simple. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Like, I like the hot dogs. I like the burgers. I like all that. But I want something hometown flavor. I want jambalaya, right? I want something like that, especially in the cold months. I want the gumbo, something like that, to be on there as well. Some gumbo. Just don't post pictures of it online now, because Louisiana Twitter gonna come hard for you. They're gonna come hard for you. But like, I would still want all that at my tailgate. And I would want something kind of sweet too. I'm a fan of grilled citrus. I really like grilled pineapple. I don't know why. I know some people hate it. Some people don't like it. I love it. I think it's a nice little tailgate something or another. I like having something sweet with my meal. So those would be all the different kinds of ways that I would go. Most of those probably don't mix with one another. And you know what? I don't care, because that's not what tailgating is about. Tailgating is not about a menu that makes sense. It's about a menu of your favorite thing to eat. And if I'm going to eat and be cold outside at, you know, some potential part of the year, which I know isn't really a thing that we have to worry about very much, but let's just say I'm going to make sure I'm enjoying myself a little bit. I'm just really locked in on this cold weather right now. So that's all I can think about. Next, we got at YPCJ with two A's. If Taysom was named the starter, how many fumbles do you think that he would have? You know what? I think they would knock that number down. And here's why I say that, because if I can stand here so confidently and say, sit here, I guess, so confidently and say, hey, Jameis Winston's 30 interception season, I almost said 40. Y'all see how I almost added 10 interceptions to that man's season? If Jameis was a kid, walk off of a 30 interception season, and I can say, hey, it's an outlier, it's not something that has been repeatable, anything like that. Like, that hasn't been, it's been an issue in that he's thrown more than 10 interceptions in each of his career, but he's not going to go out there and throw 30 interceptions every season. Then I have to be able to look at Taysom Hill's fumble number from 2020, look back from 2017, 18, and 19, and be able to say, that's an outlier, right? I have to be able to say that same thing about Taysom and the fumbles, as I say about Jameis and the interceptions. So I think that they would knock that number down. I do think that number would get knocked down. And so I would say maybe three or four, right? The usual kind of range for a quarterback that is probably, you know, is a mobile guy and is going to get hit. But I don't think you're going to see another 10, 12, 20 fumble season or anything like that, right? People tried to say, oh, well, he only started four games and he had this many fumbles, not counting the fact that some of those fumbles happened when he wasn't playing quarterback, but then tried to extrapolate that over a season and say, look, he's on pace for 30 fumbles or whatever. That's not what this is. And I don't think that that's what the issue would be if he were to be somebody that was the starter next season. I think the Saints would very much focus on eliminating that issue in his game, just like they would focus on eliminating the interception issue that we saw in 2019 for Jameis Winston. Let's get to the homie now, Al Rowe at Al Rowe 337. If we are unable to retain Marcus Williams, would it be a wise move to bring in Earl Thomas? Would it be a wise move? No, not a wise move. Could they do it? Yes, absolutely they could. Only reason why I say it might not be wise is because the dude has been a kind of a troublemaker, right? He's been an issue in the locker room. He's been an issue at practice. He's been an issue with his brother. Like, dude got held up at gunpoint by his own partner. Like, it's just wild, man. It's just wild what this dude has been a part of. So is it wise? Maybe not. But does that mean that the Saints shouldn't do it? I don't know. You got to balance risk and reward, right? He's been off the field for a while, didn't play at all last season. You saw everything that went down with him. Is that something that you're willing to risk being repeatable and a continuous part of his reputation for maybe how he performs on the field? Or do you think that maybe bringing him back with Chris Richard helps? Not really sure. There are reasons to do it. There are reasons not to do it. I lean a little bit more toward the reasons not to do it. And I would go a different way to answer the Marcus Williams question than Earl Thomas. I would go maybe for a rookie in this year's draft, or because the Saints like to fill those needs in free agency, there are some good safeties out there. McCain out of Miami, a couple of guys looking for some bounce backs, Malik Hooker out of Indy, if he can stay healthy. And of course, Marcus May, if you want to put some money down and you want to put some money toward that position, like you would have to do to retain Marcus Williams anyway, might as well grab another Marcus Williams that might even be a better tackler in Marcus May. And we got another question here from Al Rowe to finish us up here at Al Rowe 337. Could you see Zach Ertz or maybe even Jimmy Graham as the Saints tight end next season? Not Jimmy Graham. I don't think that that happens, but Zach Ertz, maybe. Look, I think the Saints with Adam Trautman, Josh Hill, and maybe Ethan Wolf, who they signed to a futures contract, I think if they rolled with that tight end group along with Taysom Hill, if Jameis Winston is a starter, I don't think that they really have to invest too much in the tight end position. You have four great blockers in that case, technically, and an outstanding pass catcher in Adam Trautman. I know no one's ever heard of Ethan Wolf. I get it. But the guy towers over everybody and is a good blocker and can make some catches. But Adam Trautman's going to be your number one tight end in terms of passing attack. I think that the Saints actually are in a pretty okay position if they don't even address tight end in free agency or in this offseason. They could, and there are ways that they could do it. I've talked about Jonnu Smith being a great option for them if they wanted to have, you know, another one of those receiving threats in 12 tight end in 12 personnel. In those two tight end sets, they can absolutely do that. But I don't think that they really have to go out there and spend a ton of money, engage in the trade market, or try to rekindle, you know, an ousted flame in Jimmy Graham in order to be successful at the position. Are those good options? Sure, they can make those options work. But I do think that there are other ways that they could go about it and then reallocate some more of the resources otherwise to other positions of need. All right, y'all. A fun Twitter Tuesday. Loved all of your questions. I feel like my tailgate answer was really weak, but I don't know. I can only think so hard about certain things. But I love when the questions come through that aren't necessarily football related, but that are, you know, us related, stuff like that. So please always feel free to ask casual questions as well. I'm always happy to answer those here on the show. I appreciate y'all, as always, for the great questions. And for making me a part of your Fat Tuesday, thank you, thank you, thank you. Y'all stay safe as we move forward here throughout the offseason. Don't forget to come back tomorrow. It is our year in review. We'll be taking a look at the running backs and we'll take a look at PFF's QB annual as well. Kind of go back and take a look at some quarterback performances with some more in-depth figures and numbers. Some good stuff over from Pro Football Focus in that one. And then we'll continue on throughout our week. We got our top three Thursday. We'll have a newsletter coming out over at Canal Street Chronicles, breaking down some of the best plays of 2020. So we'll talk about all of that here throughout the rest of the week, as well as your questions and all the news and notes going on with your New Orleans Saints. I appreciate y'all as always for coming through. Once again, I'm Ross Jackson. You can follow me on Twitter at Ross Jackson, NOLA. Hit me up. Let me know how the family's doing. Let me know how you're living. Let me know how your mom and them. Tell your friends, family, and fellow Saints fans about the show. And if you haven't already, please take a moment to subscribe. Drop that 5-star rating and review. I thank you so much for all your support. If you're helping me grow this family, this has been Locked On Saints. And trust you, that nation. I'll holla at you.